Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Monday to you, America. I am your host, Todd Starnes. We are broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And man, do we have a lot to talk about today. What an insane weekend. And later on in the program, Harmeet Dhillon is going to be joining us. Of course, Harmeet with the Justice Department in charge of the Civil Rights Division. And she'll be joining us in just a little while to talk about what happened yesterday at this Baptist church in St. Paul, Minnesota. And I know many of you are, really riled up about this, and we're going to take your calls on it and hear your take on it. But let me just say from the outset here, this is the line in the sand. It has to be the line in the sand. And I don't know what's going on inside the White House. I wish I could tell you. All I know is there are forces at work inside the White House that are trying to sabotage President Trump's agenda. I mean, it really is that simple. I have my suspicions about who those individuals are, but right now I have no firm proof. But all that to say that somebody is giving the president very, very bad advice on multiple levels. And this is one of them. You know, it's interesting. The president did not weigh in on this. And maybe I haven't checked in the last little while, but as of now, the president has yet to weigh on it. The White House issued a statement, just a brief statement through Caroline Leavitt. And that's troubling because this is a big deal. What happened at that church is the hill to die on. What happened at that church should be the triggering event that forces the president to invoke the Insurrection Act and put down this rebellion in Minneapolis. Do you know the mayor has not said anything? The governor has not said anything at all. And I'm just going to tell you right now, this is the headline about what happened. Black Lives Matter stormed a white church and shut down the worship services and terrorized the church members. That's what happened in St. Paul, Minnesota. I mean, that's the if you're looking for the elevator pitch of a story, that's it. And I'm just going to say this once because I don't want to get dredged. I don't want to get dragged down into this conversation. But I will say this: if that had been an all-black church and you had had a mob of white people going in there and shutting down a black church, what do you think everybody in the country would be talking about today? But I'm telling you this morning, and our good friends over at Newsbusters, a media research center, that's Brent Bozell's group, they were monitoring all the channels. Nothing about it on the Today Show, nothing about it on Good Morning America, nothing about it on CBS News. As a matter of fact, the only people talking about it are those of us here on talk radio and those of us on social media. That's a problem because clearly these white church members, they don't matter in the great scheme of things. They don't fit that narrative. So my recommendation for the president, declare an insurrection, get the military in there. We already know that some 1,500 troops from Alaska are on standby to be deployed. Let's get them in there. Grab all these illegals, grab all the dangerous people. You're in and out in, what, 48, maybe at the most 72 hours. I mean, it really is that simple. And then just get out of there. But the longer this thing drags on, the worse it's going to get for the president. And I want to explain what I'm talking about here. So can we just put a pin in what's happening in Minnesota for just a second. And I want to swivel our heads over to the Middle East. Somebody told Israel, you guys, no shock and awe. You go in there, you wage your war, we'll be behind you, but no shock and awe. We don't want to see that. It seems to me that whoever gave that information to Israel is giving the same information to President Trump about Minnesota. Because the longer this thing drags out in Minnesota, the more likely it is to become the George Floyd of the midterm elections. That particular issue. And it just seems to me that the right response in Israel should have been for Israel to unleash. Israel should have told America, yeah, no, we're not doing that. We're going in there. We're shock and awe on everybody. And we're going to clean this thing out. And if it takes us, what, 3 months, it takes us 3 months. But here we are years later, and still we're fighting. This has to get nipped in the bud in Minnesota. And there are people telling Trump, I know that, well, Mr. President, you know, your poll numbers are, you know, they're going to crater. Well, no, because the Wall Street Journal had some information out over the weekend. 92% of Republicans still support President Trump. So that's not it at all. And I'm not buying any of the polling data saying people's minds are beginning to sway on the immigration issue. However, if we continue to see the level of violence we're seeing out of Minnesota, and this thing just drags on and on and on, I mean, at some point, you've got to be able to arrest all the illegals and then move on. And if we're not doing that, and I would say in about a week or so, this is going to get ugly for the president. So my recommendation is, let's declare the insurrection, that there's an insurrection, invoke the Insurrection Act, unleash the military, let them clean house, and then we move on with our lives. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I want to go back to this church. Don Lemon, he's doing a podcast. And I just want to say right out of the gate, something like this would not have happened in a southern church. And I know this is going to be controversial, what I'm about to say, but if Don Lemon would have stormed a Baptist church in the southern states and stuck a microphone in the face of a Baptist church deacon from, I don't know, say, Alabama, I can promise you that microphone would have been shoved right up John Lemon's orifice. No doubt about it. Yeah, I know, Dylan, I know Lemon would have probably liked that, but still, that's not where I was going with all of this. I'm just saying that this kind of thing would not have happened in the southern states, because by and large, our churches are protected. And if your church doesn't have a church security team, you got to get one. And I know there are many people here. We may have a lot of. Are you all right there, Dylan? You look a little discombobulated this morning.
I was just not expecting that at the beginning of the show. Right, no.
It is a little early. It's a little early in the week.
It's not quite lunchtime just yet. Give it like 30 minutes and yeah.
Anyway, here's what happened. I want to set the stage for you. So they're having a church service, and this is we call them church plants. So I guess we sent from people. Actually, the pastor's from North Carolina, that poor guy who did a great job, by the way. The pastor is from North Carolina. They planted a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church in Minnesota. They're in St. Paul. And it looks like a massive crowd. Dylan, I know that you go to a similar style church where most of the congregation, I would say, are millennials. You know, they're younger people, and they got the worship band. I was impressed. The preacher was wearing a suit.
Yeah, he looked very nice.
But
it was very young.
Very young congregation. Yeah, really young congregation. Probably in their 20s and 30s, I would say. So anyway, and they don't know, you know, and I guarantee you, there are probably a lot of Democrats in that crowd, all right? So anyway, in comes Don Lemon. And so Don Lemon is out there, and he's with the Black Lives Matter people, and they literally storm into the church. And Don Lemon is saying that they have a right to do that, that they have a constitutional right to invade this church. Cut number five, please.
You heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it, but, I mean, if they went into a church, you know, any church.
Yeah, it's he's justifying all of this. And so anyway, the poor pastor is just like, nobody knew what to do. And this is what concerned me. If these people would have been armed with weapons, there would have been a massacre because nobody knew what to do. And you've got the children in the pews and they're weeping. I mean, it's just, they're all terrified. Everybody's just terrified. So the pastor is just, again, you're in the middle of a worship service and you've got dozens of people storming your church, all sorts of profanity, all sorts of horrible stuff. And let's take a listen to cut number three. This is the pastor, and Don Lemon is sticking the microphone in, and he's arguing with the guy. And he, I guess the pastor bumps Don Lemon, and you'll hear what Lemon says in just a moment. Let's play cut four. I'm sorry, cut three.
This is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship. So,
but there were folks who
said, I have to take care of my flock. Okay, my
listen, we live in a, there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want
that's
to be very respectful. Please don't push me, though.
We're here. We're here
you
to worship
son
Jesus.
Of us.
That's why we're here. Okay. That's why we're here. That's what we're about.
Don't you think Jesus would be understanding
we're about
and worship. Love these folks?
We're about spreading the love of Jesus.
But did you try to talk to them as a Christian?
No one is willing to talk.
Okay.
I have to take care of my church and my family, so I ask that you actually would also leave this building.
You don't want us to
unless
chronicle
you're here to
what
worship.
Happened?
Unless you're here to worship.
I'm always worship. I'm a Christian.
We're here to worship. Yeah. We're here to worship. Okay.
Thank you very much.
If that would have been an independent Baptist preacher, Don Lemon would not have any teeth right now. Don't you touch me. I'm invading your church. I'm a gay black man. I'm a protected species. No, I'm not saying it's right. Well, I don't know. It could have been right. Don't you touch me. I honest to God, folks, I would have been rebuking that guy. I rebuke you. Get out of here, you evil demon. That's what I would have been doing. And I appreciate the guy. He's a pastor. He can't say that. But I'm telling you, you need somebody on your staff who can rebuke demons that are coming into your pulpit. That's what you need here. I am so enraged over this, folks. This is unacceptable. And one of the big problems we have in America right now is we have something called limp-wristed Christianity. And some of these folks just can't help it because they don't remember what it was like when you had big, bold preachers in the pulpit and you had bold Christianity. And just because you're a follower of Jesus doesn't mean you got to let people like Don Lemon, that sleazy piece of dirt, come into your sanctuary and blow up your services. No, you don't have to tolerate that in America. You really don't. But I'm just so angry over this. Because these are good and decent people. These are kids. These are young people. And they're coming out there. And as a matter of fact, they interviewed one of the guys. And he said, you know, I don't support ICE, but I really don't support you people coming in here and blowing up our church. It's like, what the heck? It is not right, ladies and gentlemen. But I will say this, and hear me on this. Hear me. You've got these mobs. They're targeting the Jews, and they're targeting the Christians. They don't go after the mosques because they know the Muslims will blow them up or shoot them. And honest to goodness, that's it. I mean, that's the only reason they're not targeting the mosques. But I will say this, every Christian church, every church in America, and every synagogue too, I'm talking to the Jews and the Christians here. You need to really start thinking about church security and synagogue security. You need to protect your houses of worship, because the greater concern for me was the look of shock and confusion and horror on the faces of those congregants. Nobody knew what to do. It was very clear. There was a huge crowd there. Nobody knew what to do. We've got to fix that. All right, we're going to go to the phones, 901-260-5926. Your reaction to what happened yesterday. Do you believe that President Trump should declare an insurrection? Do you believe that the government needs to come in and immediately, and I don't know about you, I'm tired of the investigations. I am so tired of the investigations. I want to see heads roll. It doesn't take an investigation. All you got to do is watch Don Lemon's video feed and start arresting people. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Also, happy birthday to Robert E. Lee. Today, the great Confederate War general, great patriot, Robert E. Lee, celebrating a birthday. Let's go to the phone lines here, starting our day in Salem, Oregon. Kathy, listening to us on KYKN. Kathy, what's going on?
Good morning. You have a lot of people that listen to you, and I'm hoping that Don Lemon hears this, because that young man is either deceived or lying. I don't know how he expects to say, I'm a Christian, and be a practicing homosexual. He needs to read his Bible. There's a verse in there that says that on that day, he's going to say, I didn't know you.
Well, this isn't about his homosexuality. This is about the fact that this man stormed into a church, Kathy, and disrupted a worship service and terrorized Christians. That's what this story is about.
Yes, but he went in there, and when the pastor said, if you come in here to worship, that's one thing. And he says, well, I am a Christian. And it's like he was trying to make a good reason for him to be in there disrupting things. He's a Christian. Anyway.
Kathy, look, I hear you and I hear what you're saying, but I don't want to get distracted from the main issue here. And the main issue is what we saw yesterday in this church house was an act of domestic terrorism. And there is a racial component to all of this. Black Lives Matter organized this event yesterday. Black Lives Matter Minnesota and Black Lives Matter Twin Cities. And by the way, Don Lemon's now trying to back up and say, oh, I didn't have anything to do with this. I'm just the journalist. Don Lemon was seen kissing one of the organizers on the cheek before they all went into the church. So I'm not buying it. I'm not buying any of it. Don Lemon is one of the organizers of whatever happened yesterday. Kathy, thank you for that. Let's go to Mary Margaret in Texas, Patriot Talk 920. Mary Margaret, what say you? All right, let's put Mary Margaret on hold, and we'll get back to Mary Margaret in just a moment. Folks, when you're calling in, got to make sure you're ready to rock and roll when we are ready to go to your phone calls. This late word coming in from the DOJ, and we'll ask Harmeet Dhillon about this later. It looks like they're going to try and go after Don Lemon with, of all things, the KKK Act. This is going to be brilliant. So the KKK Act is actually a law on the books, and we'll go into more of that when we come back. This is, wow, Don Lemon getting charged as a Klansman. Didn't have that on the bingo card for 2026. All right, hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss. And it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900 or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
Today in Minneapolis, Minnesota, a group of activists led by Don Lemon stormed a Baptist church by the name of Cities Church during their worship time. They were screaming and chanting, disrupting the singing and the preaching, because they suspected an ICE officer may attend the church. This is a violation of what is known as the FACE Act, and not only do we condemn this act, but tonight I want to demand that the Department of Justice investigate what took place in Minneapolis, apprehend those who broke the law, and arrest them accordingly. Amen. We must protect religious liberty in this country. As people meet to worship God, they have been given legally the right to enter, to worship, and to leave their place of worship. The Lord Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." I have preached for many years that there will come a time when we'll find out who are Christians by label and by convenience, and who are Christians by conviction.
All right, that is something delivered from the pulpit last night at Lancaster Baptist Church in California. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is our good friend, Dr. Paul Chappell, who is the pastor at Lancaster Baptist, also president of West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Chappell, those words, that video you posted last night has since gone viral. Thousands and tens of thousands of people are sharing it. Are you surprised at the response to what you had to say?
Well, somewhat surprised. I really wasn't thinking in terms of the amount of people that might hear it. I just knew that I needed to speak. And so I'm thankful that it's getting some circulation because it's a very, very serious issue. I wanted our church to recognize that this is happening and that it is illegal. It's absolutely illegal to disrupt a worship service. At the very minimum, it's a misdemeanor in our state. And I do believe the FACE Act has ramifications as well. So it's something that I felt needed to be looked into. And we have seen in recent years, as you well know, attacks on church properties and worshipers on the rise as America has been turning from biblical truth and living lifestyles and embracing beliefs that are opposite of the Bible. It seems that there is a segment of society that wants to take their angst out on the church itself. And so it's something that I felt needed to be stated, and I'm glad it's being investigated.
Yeah, the FACE Act was actually created back in 1994, and it's a federal law that makes it illegal to use force, threats, or physical obstruction to prevent people from blocking these Planned Parenthood or abortion clinics. But there's also, and they actually, the Biden administration used that as a way to target pro-lifers who were, say, praying on a sidewalk. They weren't obstructing, but they were standing there. And that was considered a violation of the FACE Act. And people have been sentenced to federal prison for simply praying outside an abortion clinic. But Dr. Chappell, there's another component to that. It also includes exercising religious freedom at places of worship. So the FACE Act covers that as well. So that's, you're right. I mean, it may be a misdemeanor locally, but federal charges can be applied here.
I am not an attorney, but I have read the FACE Act, and I do agree that it speaks to the entrance and worship time and exit from places of worship. And look, I believe that people should be able to go to any place of worship without being harassed. It doesn't have to be Christian. That's the greatness of this country, is the freedom to worship. And at the very baseline, if someone were to walk into the studios there with you today, or in a Newsmax studio, or even a CNN studio, and start clanging pots and pans, they would have us arrested immediately. You can't walk into a private property and disturb the peace, much less a place of worship. And so I just feel that if we don't send that message clearly, then this is a precedent that will begin to grow. And I'm thankful that people share the concern.
Yeah, I am too. Now, here in our palatial studio bunker, Dr. Champel, we have an emergency window that would be used in that moment. So then we'll call the authorities.
Well, I would like to think that you would not tolerate such disruption of this great show.
No. This is not NPR. So, well, Dr. Champel, one of the things that really concerned me is, first of all, I mean, there's trauma. I mean, there were children that were weeping, and there's video of them actually chasing these moms with young children out of the building. This is, you know, how do you minister to these clearly traumatized Christian believers?
Well, first of all, these were organized protesters. It will be interesting to find out who paid them to go in. I do not believe the members of the press get a pass. It has been my experience, though it's somewhat limited, but whenever we've dealt with press, they typically identify themselves and even, you know, let you know they're there and why they're there, and put forth some professional greeting. For people to barge into the church to see those children crying and parents consoling them and elderly people trying to find a way of escape, you have no idea what's under their coats. You have no idea what their intentions are. It is very frightening to have people come in like that. And so I do believe an investigation is necessary. And I obviously speak, you know, from a personal standpoint as a pastor, having a shepherd's heart for a flock, I hate to see people being scared in a time when they're supposed to be comforted from the Word of God. And, of course, that's the hope. And even some of the folks that were there were going online and stating things like, well, if this is uncomfortable, that was our intended desire. We were here to scare them. And I actually believe they may bring more charges upon themselves for saying those types of things, because, in fact, they're saying they went there to terrorize.
They did. You know, and that's the other part of this story. It was very clear to me that church had no security system in place, and those people were literally able to walk right in. I mean, this is a mob of people, upwards of, I think, 30, as many as we are hearing. What guidance, what counsel would you give churches out there when it comes to security?
Well, there are a number of places now where training is being given to churches for security. And it's a sad day, but just about every church that I know of, and of all sizes, has established a security presence because of these types of things and worse. And so I would encourage pastors to seek legal counsel, to set policies in writing, to discover their own local ordinances, to discuss with their local police department their concerns, and on special days, even to ask for their assistance. But they should have written policies and trained security folk ready to meet these types of situations. And I watched the pastor. He's standing in his own auditorium where he preaches, trying to help the people safely get out. He had to stop the service. The entire service was stopped. And then he was being interviewed, supposedly, really harassed by Don Lemon, and he's amidst people and somewhat slightly leaning into Don Lemon, and Don Lemon says to him, I'm going to say this politely, but don't touch me and don't lean into me. And the gall to stand in other people's church to be requesting a moment of an interview and then to tell them not to get close to you, it was truly a psychological harassment. to stand there and to try to say, well, I'm a Christian too. All of this type of wording is wording that was intended to inflict confusion and harm. And then finally, I would just say, Todd, that to go there under the guise of, we think someone in this church might work for ICE. Well, you know, I think about our church. We have people from many different sides of law enforcement, but we probably on a given Sunday have several illegal aliens too. I mean, the fact is that everybody's welcome in Bible preaching churches, and so we don't do license checks on the way into church. We're there to try to serve, and so for them to say, "Well, they have a law enforcement officer who might have been involved in this or such," that really was imposing their angst and anger on a Christian body of believers. And was just completely out of line.
Well, and the other component there, Dr. Chappell, is that tells us people are doxing ICE agents if they're finding out where they're going to church. And the allegation was that an ICE officer happened to be one of the church ministers as well.
And I have no idea if that's true or not, but these are federal agents who have very difficult jobs. And I'm not here to even comment on that aspect of the story. I'm not an expert on all that's taking place. I will say I'm very thankful for any governmental agency that's removing the criminal element from our streets, and we should support them in the process. Now, the other sides of all of the aspects of what's happening in Minnesota put aside, I want to tell you there's still no reason to barge into a church. And had we barged into their church, or had we barged into a mosque or some other place like that, it probably would be gaining quite a bit of national attention as well. Sometimes Christians just are too passive when these things take place, and I'm not advocating that we need to be aggressive physically. What I'm advocating is if the law was broken, then those that are the lawmakers and the authority need to investigate it and do the right thing.
Well said. All right, Dr. Chappell, we're going to leave it there. And folks, I want to encourage you to go and check out all of Dr. Chappell's ministry information, paulchappell.com. That's two P's, two L's, paulchappell.com. He's written so many wonderful books and has a plethora of ministry helps for you there on his website, paulchappell.com. All right, Dr. Chappell, really appreciate your analysis today.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. My goodness gracious. Yeah. If you have a church or if you go to a church, you need to make sure there is a church security team in place. That would have helped stop whatever happened yesterday. Real quick, I want to go to the phone, see if we can't work in a call or two here. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Conroe, Texas. Chris is on the line. Hi, Chris. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I just want to say I really appreciate your show. I listen regularly.
Thank you.
But I want to talk about Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and the FBI. Pam Bondi, as Attorney General, relies on the evidence collected by the FBI, and they must give it to her before she can submit a request for an arrest warrant. What crimes that are obvious to us, for some reason, she is not getting that evidence from the FBI. Now, the FBI might be two entities. It might be a clandestine operation, what people call the deep state, and there may be an element in the FBI that is true patriots. I don't know whether that is true or false or not. I think this is the reason Dan Bongino resigned his position as deputy director for the FBI. So I view the FBI as a neo-Praetorian guard. The Praetorian Guard in ancient Rome, they actually selected who would become emperor. I think the FBI is the protector and enforcer of this deep state. Now, within the FBI, this deep state, these are long-tenured government employees. Cash Patel is just a political appointee. He'll be gone at the end of this term. So they play a weight game, knowing that it's just a temporary thing they got to deal with. That's my impression.
Chris, I think this is a pretty good observation you've got. And one of the, you know, I've got a lot of fire over something I said, oh gosh, it's been about a year and a half ago or so, back during the campaign. I suggested that the president ought to consider completely dismantling and rebuilding the FBI from the ground up. In other words, just start all over again because the corruption and the rot was just too deep. But and also moving the FBI out of Washington, D.C., that's just not going to happen. And I think as a result of that, we're really not going to be able to get a handle on cleaning up a lot of the corruption, the grift that's going on in the FBI. And I think you're right. Cash Patel, they all know that these are all government-appointed people. And if you can just lay low long enough, you're going to be able to keep your job.
Yeah, I agree. I've said that many times. I don't think the way it's embedded into the system, I don't think you can reform that. I think it has to be dismantled.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you on that. And my friend, we have got to skedaddle for a break. But Chris, thank you for those kind words. And I sure do appreciate you calling into the show today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee. Mike, listening to us on KWAM. Mike, what's on your mind? Hello, Mike.
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air, Mike. Let's get to it.
All right, the incident at the church, I told you a while back that there's no line that the other side won't cross, and this just proves it.
What do you mean? A line that who won't cross?
Well, the left. I mean, you got Don Lemon and Michael Fanone and others talking about exercising your Second Amendment rights. They're talking about taking up arms against the government. You've got their minions out there in the middle of the night in Minnesota on a street corner, single digits. I mean, that's the mentality of the people you're dealing with. And these people like Don Lemon and Fanone, they sit back in their gated communities sipping Chardonnay, laughing their butts off at how gullible these people are out there doing their dirty work.
Well, yeah, I think you're spot on accurate there. How would they like it? And again, if it's free speech for somebody to go into a church, okay, well, let's just show up on Don Lemon's front yard and see how that goes down.
Well, that's the point. It's never a sword that cuts both ways. They're pushing for civil war, and they're not going to stop until they get it.
Yeah, Mike, I'm afraid you're right. And the question is, you know, how does the administration deal with this? Do they just go in full bore, declare an insurrection, and get done with this, clean out all the criminal element, or do they just do it day by day, and we're going to be months from now still talking about Minneapolis?
Well, no, I mean, President Trump's negotiating policy stance has always been ask for three times what you want so that you'll at least get, you know, one and a half to two times. From day one, he should have just sent thousands of military people in there and to protect the ICE agents and keep the crowd at bay. ICE agents go around doing their job to get everybody rounded up, and then, like you say, they're gone in a matter of a couple of days. You need to just blow them away. And I mean that figuratively. I'm not talking about...
No. I got you. No, Mike, I got you. Hey, look, I got to run, though, Mike, but good call. Great to hear from you, my friend. Hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. Daryl Worley, big country music star, coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Todd Starnes, the voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Glad to have you with us today. Wow, you know, we're adding about 25 new radio stations carrying the show, and we're going to be giving you guys a shout-out all this week on the program, so be sure to stick around for that. But great to have all of you joining us from our studios here in Memphis. Dylan, over the weekend, you're not going to believe, I normally don't get out on the weekends, but we had visitors in town. You know, Josh Jones, who's our Republican strategist, and he'd never been to Graceland. So we took the whole crew over to Graceland over the weekend.
You know, most Memphians haven't even been to Graceland, so that's good of you to do that.
It's kind of like, you know, in New York City, most New Yorkers don't go to the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you got to go, if you're in Memphis, you got to go to Graceland.
It's very true, yeah.
It's pretty intense. They love the Jungle Room.
They really have done it up over there. They've done a lot of good stuff, and they're really honoring Elvis really well.
Then over the weekend, the big International Blues Challenge. So we had over 100 and some odd blues groups coming in and performing. And our good buddy Jim LaSapia, who's a fan of the show, he got us VIP seats over at Rum Boogie Cafe on Beale Street.
Wow.
And I mean, it was rocking.
That's a treat because, you know, Memphis is the heart and soul blues.
It's it. I mean, I love Nashville, but Memphis is like authentic. It's real.
It's gritty.
It's gritty.
Yeah, that's what it is.
You know what it is. We're not bright lights, and you know,
no,
we don't have bridesmaids riding around, you know, buck naked, and drunk on bicycles downtown. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Speaking of country music, great country music star, great American patriot, Daryl Worley joins us. Daryl, hope you're doing well. Good to have you on the show today.
Man, I've been listening to you guys, and y'all are cracking me up.
Well, it's so funny. It was a lot of fun. You know, President Trump sent the National Guard to Memphis. Our crime problem is down 70%, so people are actually out having a good time down in Beale Street now.
Don't you love that?
You know, it's...
I love Rum Boogie, man.
Rum Boogie is a place to go, and they had this blues band, and they were just crushing it, and we're like listening to them, and we're like, wait a second, these guys don't even have facial hair, and it was a bunch of 17-year-old kids from Tucson, Arizona singing the blues.
That's crazy.
But
you know as well as I do that they had influences from right there. Man, I'm a West Tennessean. You know, you guys leave Memphis and go to Pickwick Lake. You're right where I was raised up.
That's it. That's where the good fishing is in these parts.
That's it.
Daryl, next time you're back here, you got to let me know, and we'll take you down to Rum Boogie.
Oh, my wife and I, don't say that if you don't mean it, because we will show up, and she absolutely loves going over there. I mean, you know, there's been times off and on when I felt like we could go down there and it would be okay, and there's been times when I didn't feel that way, and I'm hearing that it's pretty good time to go enjoy all that again.
You know, it really is, and we just can't say enough good stuff about President Trump and the National Guard troops. You know, they're really doing it. And, of course, Jim LaSapia, the owner, and we're going to get to what we're going to talk about here in a second, but Jim LaSapia, the owner of Rum Boogie, we had the honor to feed 1,500 troops right before Thanksgiving. And I called the White House, said, can you do it? I said, hold on. I called Jim. I'm like, Jim, can we feed people in 4 days? We need 1,500 people. Can you feed them in 4 days? He said, we got you covered. And the whole team from Rum Boogie came down and fed them a good old southern meal. So good patriots in these parts, too. And you know that, Daryl, living, you know, coming from this part of the country.
Absolutely. There's no place in the whole world like West Tennessee. And you know, I was born in Memphis, and it definitely is home of the Delta Blues. And man, I'm telling you right now, I grew up closer to Muscle Shoals. So, I mean, if you think about all of that music that we have, and you know what? You're absolutely right. We're the places we're talking about, we're not about lights and fancy stuff. We're about digging into it. It's got grit. It's freaking hometown, and it's down home, and it's real. And so, yeah, when I get a chance to come over there and soak that up, I'm all about it.
That's what it's about right there. I love what you're doing here, and when your team sent us this note, I'm like, we got to get you on the show. You're all about our troops, and you've broken ground on this really incredible, unique, and it's kind of ingenious resort. It's a luxury, tiny home resort for military families. Tell us about this.
Well, I have a friend down in Enterprise, Alabama, Ronnie Gilley, who I have been doing different projects with since we came to know each other during the big run with Have You Forgotten. And so we've been friends for almost 25 years, and we've done some amazing things down in South Alabama. But this, when he called me, it's probably a year ago, my wife and I went down and sat with him and let him just give us the vision, if you will. And we were on our way back home. I told my wife, I said, there is no way that I'm not going to be a part of this, because I don't know if anybody else is doing this, and it is absolutely, it's a home run for about four different categories, us being one of those categories. But I mean, it's incredible for the military and Fort Novosel, which we think of as Fort Rucker. But, if you're just an investor or someone looking for affordable housing, it's over the top. We're super excited, and we've gotten incredible response already from our little media tour. And I can't thank you guys enough for having me on to talk about it. So, it's really exciting.
It is absolutely beautiful, and they're in Enterprise, Alabama. So folks from the, you can just drive over. We have a lot of Southern listeners. You can drive over and see it, folks. But this is just really so well done. And Daryl, these tiny homes, it's kind of like all the rage now for folks wanting to, to downsize.
Well, I mean, dude, we're learning it ourselves around home, at least my wife and I, that downsizing allows you to live larger. And that's kind of one of the little talking points that came out of all of our discussions about this. We're going to have 75 tiny homes in this first phase of this development. The tiny homes are stick built on site by our guys, and I'm telling you, they're built like a Bradley tank. And it's like, if you go look at all of our literature, it says they're engineered for value and built to last. And that sounds like a sales pitch, but it's the absolute truth. They're super stout. I mean, if you go look for a tiny home anywhere else, a lot of them, I won't say all of them, but a lot of them are like a storage building that they've done a conversion on. And this is a house really built on site. And the whole thing will be ran, it'll be operated like a short-term lodging. It's really like a hotel. So you can come in and rent a room. Like, you've got all these flight classes. Every 2 weeks they graduate a flight class over at Novosel. You got families pouring in there and out of there to see their people graduate. Or you can come in to our development and just buy one outright and live in it, enjoy the amenities. Or you can buy one and put it in our management program, and we'll sit there and keep it rented all the time like a hotel room. And then at the end of the month, we'll settle up and send you the excess money.
I love that. This is, and look, there's a website, folks. I want you to write this down. It's Daryl Worley, Awful Beautiful Life Resort, .com. And we're going to post a link to it on the live show blog. The Awful Beautiful Life Luxury Tiny Home Resort Community, and it's just absolutely stunning. And I think this is so awesome, especially being so close to the military base.
Yeah, we're 5.8 miles from the actual entrance of the military base. We knew all along that this would probably be incredible for the military. And it's one of the reasons that Ronnie Gilley is my partner down there, and he's really, really got a gift for coming up with stuff like this. But he was spurred on by our previous administration when they came out and the interest rates were through the roof and the housing prices were through the roof. He said, we've got to figure out a way to provide some affordable housing for these people, especially our military. And I think we've done it. And let me tell you what, we had a big discussion at dinner last night, I'm in New York City. It's a little different than Memphis up here, but I can't find the blues, but I'm working on it. We're at the dinner last night. We're talking about you can buy one of these tiny homes. This is the Daryl Worley discount, and it's not going to last forever. Maybe through this first phase, you can buy one of these homes for $89,000. And
are we there, Daryl? Did we lose Daryl?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Okay. Are you there?
We got you back. Yeah, we got you back. Look, that's a pretty darn good deal.
Man, so just real quick, if I said this the other night and somebody said I probably shouldn't say this, so I'll try to say it a different way. If we take it and accessorize it, if we do the complete package, you can still get the home for $99,000, and I'll tell you that the $10,000 add-on is the better deal because we're doing so many. The average Joe can't walk in and get all the stuff that we're going to put in there. I mean, it's linens, it's towels, it's all your accessories, your utensils, furniture. You could pick from four different, like, decor packages. It's everything. Electronics. And so, like, the $10,000 add-on, that's the best deal. But you can buy one for $89,000. And we were laughing at dinner last night. You can't buy an upscale camper for that now.
Wow. No, you can't. You can't. And again, folks, this is, you gotta go see it for yourself. So you can imagine what it's like, but when you see it, you're like, holy cow, I gotta get one of these. Daryl Worley, awfulbeautifullife.com is the website. That's Daryl Worley, awfulbeautifullife.com, where simplicity meets luxury living. And Daryl, I'm just curious, what's been the reaction to folks that have seen the plans?
It's kind of going crazy. You know, we had hopes that it would just because we just know there's nothing else like this out there. And let me run down these amenities real fast because I know they kind of it is so that paradise vibe with the, you know, the resort feel. And we're close enough to the coast. You can stay away from the hurricanes and still have palm trees and all that stuff. But I think of this when I'm driving through. So there's a security gate at the very front entrance that you come through. So the whole place is under security 24/7. So there's that. And then they got the pickleball courts. They got cornhole lanes and courts designated area. They have a dog park, you know, for people in the development who have pets. You go on down. Then you come to, like, the different section of the complex. There's a huge resort-style lagoon pool with, like, four waterfalls and an incredible tiki bar. And then there's an event center, which is going to be huge in that area because a lot of times they don't have very many venues. And so these people that are graduating can have their families into the event center to celebrate. That's awesome. There's a chill lounge with a small stage. We'll be playing there occasionally. Let's see, you go on down, and there's a clubhouse, and then across the other side of the pool, there's a full-blown, amazing fitness center. It's not like what you get in, like, a 2.5-star hotel. You know, it's a rubber ball and a 5-pound dumbbell. This right. place is loaded up with he actually has a yoga and a aerobic side, and then he calls the other side the meathead side for folks that like to push the weight around. So it is, and then... And the amenities go on and on. If you stay there, it's a 365. You can get a continental breakfast for free. I can't even say all of it. But if you go to that website, there's more information than you can process.
Yeah, I'll just tell you this. I normally, when I'm out on the road, and we normally stay at Ritz-Carlton properties, and that poolside looks just like something you'd see at a Ritz-Carlton resort. I mean, it's really well done. So, Daryl,
man.
Yeah, go ahead.
One of the guys in our group designed that pool and built the whole thing. It's a traditional gunite pool, and I'm telling you, I've never seen one like it. It is absolutely beautiful.
All right, Daryl, we got to leave it there. We're going to have to head off to a break, but man, congratulations. And I just love this. I know our listeners are going to love it as well, and we'll give out that website address again. Daryl Worley, awfulbeautifullife.com. Congratulations, Daryl.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff. Daryl Worley, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What a great thing they're doing. And it's these tiny homes, and they're very well done. Dylan, you ought to get the missus and head on down to Enterprise, Alabama.
Doesn't sound like too much of a bad idea.
No, no. It looks like, I mean, really, it's really nice. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, Dylan, we just Dalton, our CEO, came into town, and we had Jones in town, and we decided to take Helen. Helen showed up at the – she went to the Peabody Duck thing.
I heard that she showed up right when it was happening, too.
Hundreds of people. Yes. In the – I mean, it's the craziest thing. If you haven't been to the Peabody Hotel, the Grand Hotel of the South – they have the Peabody Ducks, and every morning and every afternoon they walk the ducks into the lobby, and then they plop around in the big marble pool for, you know, I don't know how long, all day. It's, I guess, an 8-hour shift.
They are the most well-behaved ducks you've ever seen. So
they have to, or otherwise they end up as supper.
Yeah, duck is on the menu in one of the restaurants there, so but it's not those ducks.
But we went to Rum Boogie, the Rum Boogie Cafe, which is right on the that's on the corner of Beale and B.B. King Boulevard. And, man, the blues, the bands they had off the charts. They had hundreds of them in town for this big blues challenge, the International Blues Challenge. I did not get a chance to see the Korean. They had a Korean blues band.
I would have loved to see that, Todd.
So, are you Rome Re Tonight? I think that was one of the big songs. That's one of their hits. I'm sorry. Are you Rome Re? No, sorry. I'm not going to sing. I'm terrible. But we went there, and then, they gave us the VIP. It was great. It was, you know, they give you the little, I haven't been to a concert in like 100 years, and you got the little thing and your hand stamped, and then they gave you a table right there.
Very nice.
It was nice. And then
it feels safe to go out in Memphis again.
Oh, big time. Our waitress, what was her name? Hold on. Beale Street Barbie was her name. She was great.
I love it.
She was great. So anyway, thank you for Jim LoSapio, all the great crew down there on Beale Street. And folks, if you want to come to Memphis, you got to come to Memphis, and we'll give you a tour of the Todd Stern Show studios too. That needs to be like right up there with the Graceland tour. Without the fried peanut butter sandwiches. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
Sing it, America.
What a way to make a living, barely getting by.
All right, belt it out, Statesville, North Carolina.
Use your mind.
All right. You know, Dylan, I got to thinking about something here. I work 5 to 5. That's not good.
Yeah, they need to make a song about that.
Wow. Today is Dolly Parton's birthday.
The big 80.
This is insane. There's no way she's 80 years old.
No, she looks very young still.
Does it feel like, though, that she's been around forever?
Yes.
Right?
She's like Morgan Freeman. It's like the same thing. They never age, and they're always going to be iconic.
It's true. And, of course, what was it? Today in Tennessee is Dolly Parton Day. I'm not sure what that means. Over the weekend at my favorite bookstore, the Novel Memphis Bookstore, they were giving away Dolly Parton cookies.
Ooh.
They were very large.
Gosh. Of course.
Ample.
Of course they were.
There was ample cookie. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile News. I'm sorry. What's wrong with me? Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Steve Gill, publisher.
The show is too short to figure out all the things that are wrong with you, Todd. But, of course, my first reaction is, well, did you get a pair of cookies?
Yeah, they came.
So whatever's wrong with you is obviously wrong with me, too.
Oh, my God. Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Steve, it's crazy when you think about it. Dolly Parton, what she has done for Tennessee and especially for East Tennessee, which was really outside of Gatlinburg, there really wasn't much there until, you know, Dollywood came along.
No, and I got to share a real quick Dolly Parton story. A few years ago, we were doing a project together. She was doing a project with Gaylord Entertainment and had her on the show, my morning show, and then was meeting up and was walking up to do a photo with her. And as I come walking up to her, of course, I'm 6'4". She's just itty bitty. And she looks at me and goes, well, you're a big one. You're either going to have to scooch down or scoop me up. And to my everlasting shame, Todd, I scooched down rather than scooping up Dolly Parton. My one shot, and I blew it.
Well, I would have had you down for scooping her up.
In hindsight, that was the only choice.
Wow, that's crazy. So she was born, in 1946 in Sevier County. And, I mean, it's just mountain hills and hollers. And one of the things that she's really known for is making sure that kids have books to read, and her literacy campaigns. I'm a huge fan of that. And I'm just so excited for her. Dolly Parton, you know, she hasn't been, I know the health situation's been a little squirrely lately. And I suspect it's probably, you know, a little bit worse than they're telling us. But right now we're just celebrating a big birthday for Dolly.
Well, and one of the classiest ladies, one of the best representatives the state of Tennessee could ever ask for. Never the slightest tennis scandal. Everything that she ever did was done first class, from Dollywood to the development around Sevier County, to, as you mentioned, her books program for Tennessee children. It's been a benefit to Tennessee that she's been a Tennessean.
By the way, we had Bruce Pearl on the Newsmax show a couple of days ago, and I thought about you because he said the reason he was actually standing out in front of the Supreme Court doing a lot of TV hits on the transgender, you know, athlete stuff. And he said he was out there speaking out on behalf of Pat Summitt. And I thought, wow, I haven't heard her name in ages. But, of course, a legend there at the University of Tennessee and in women's basketball in general. It was great to see.
Representative of our state.
Yeah, and Bruce Pearl out there. And, man, what an explosive voice in the culture he's become.
Yeah, there for a while there was talk he might run for public office in Alabama. I'm not sure that going forward that won't still be an opportunity. But as you know, I played basketball for the men's team during the late 70s. And then while I was in law school, I actually got asked by Pat to run the men's practice team for her and the girls' team to, you know, make them, you know, stronger and play against faster, tougher competition. Now, you know, we weren't supposed to jump and block shots because that's not the women's game, but I tell people all the time, Todd, I was fortunate to have played for the men's team because I don't think I was man enough to have played for that.
Wow, those were some ferocious women. You're not kidding. Oh, my gosh. Staying on sports for a minute, I want you to weigh in on what's happening in Minnesota, but tonight is the big CFP National Championship. You've got Indiana and Miami. I just thought it was funny. Dylan, did you see the press conference? Is it Carson Beck is the quarterback? Is that right?
Yeah, for Miami.
Miami. And they asked, so did you have class yesterday? He said, I graduated a couple of years ago. That's kind of the state of college athletics, I think, in one answer, Steve Gill.
Yeah, and you still have NCAA rules that you're supposed to be an active student athlete in order to be able to participate. So I don't know if he's opened a huge scandal and controversy that needs to be explored in more detail, because you've got these guys that graduate and they still have eligibility left. They can be taking graduate school classes. You've got guys that are getting MBAs. Heck, the way some of them are playing for 7 and 8 years, some are, I guess, are getting PhDs during their time on scholarship and still playing with the NIL and the portal availability. But you are still supposed to be enrolled in school if you're playing in the games. And I think this is certainly going to be worthy of further investigation by the NCAA. And I don't know whether you declare that their competition was ineligible and you strip them of whatever titles they might win. I don't think that's going to be a problem tonight. I think Indiana wins by about 14 points. I have been completely impressed by them. Not only their offense, although their offense is extremely talented, and you couldn't ask for a better representative than the Heisman Trophy winner, Fernando Mendoza
is, yeah,
literally a class act on and off the field, and such an articulate spokesman and a class character in and of himself. But their defense is also strong too. So I give them a 14-point edge tonight, and it'll be a game I think worth watching. But I think Indiana takes it, and they're a better team than I was giving them credit for midseason.
Yeah, same here. This is insane. There is a report out. This is from CBS Sports. Are you ready for this? Upper ticket, if you want tonight, if you're going down to the Hard Rock Stadium and you want to buy an upper-level ticket, it's going to go about $2,750. Lower level right now, $3,750. Club level going for $4,000 a ticket. And then if you're wanting a seat, best seat on the house, 50-yard line, Steve Gell, $15,000.
Even if you're not playing and you're standing on the sideline, and the way the NIL is working, you're getting paid to watch the game. So that's the best opportunity if you can earn your way to that. But, man, those ticket prices are out of control. But you've got, you know, Miami playing essentially at home. You've got the Mendoza connection to Miami. You've got this, you know, just the NCAA championship football game has become much like March Madness, where the championship game is the end-all, be-all, must-see TV. And I love it. I love it for sport. We've got to fix this whole transfer portal thing, though, where I think right now you can almost transfer mid-game. You know, you're playing for one team and you change a jersey, and in the next quarter you come out for the other guys because they upped your ante. We've got to fix that. I think limit, you get one transfer without having to sit out any time. Maybe you get a second one. If the coach leaves, you get another bite of the apple. But this, you know, constant, just, you know, somebody can buy you to the next team for a little bit more cash. We got to fix that.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, we definitely, that's got to be fixed. Real quick before we go to the other, the Minnesota, I'm just stunned by this. They're saying that the tickets, there's a club called 72 Club, and that gets you the best tickets around. 72 Club tickets for Taylor Swift for the big Eras tour was only $10,000, or close to $10,000. So these are far exceeding Taylor Swift. So there you go. More expensive than Taylor Swift.
And I think appropriately so. Not that I want to get the Swifties mad at us, but I think this is going to be a better contest than her concert.
901-260-5926. Would you splurge for those tickets, or would you just stay home and watch them? Make your own snacks. 901-260-5926. Here with us in studio, Steve Gill, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. And Steve, real quick, we're going to have Harmeet Dhillon coming up in just a few moments. Your reaction to what happened in that church yesterday in St. Paul, Minnesota?
I would not want to be in Harmeet's target sites on this issue. I wouldn't want to be in the Department of Justice target sites on this issue. This is a no-brainer. This was a hate crime. This was outrageous. They should have already been arrested. They should already be being charged. If they had done this to a Jewish synagogue, if they had done this, God forbid, to a Muslim mosque, they would have already been under protective care because they would be the targets of death, and they would already have been arrested and be being charged at the highest levels available. Again, it is absolutely outrageous. It is disgusting what was done. To me, Todd, what is more disgusting is that you haven't had Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis. You haven't had Tim Walz, the governor of the state. You haven't had leading Democrats condemn this as loudly and vociferously as they should. In fact, it is the silence that speaks louder than their condemnation.
Yeah, well said. And no, you're absolutely right about that. And this has to be addressed. This cannot go unchallenged. And I'm glad to see so much outrage coming from so many pulpits around the nation. And let's just hope we're not dealing with a situation where you know, these investigations are going to linger. I think it's just a matter of confirming all the stuff that was on video. I mean, these idiots, they put it all on videotape.
Well, and you have them acknowledging that what they did was intended to intimidate and threaten. So you've got the intent proven by their own words. You see the video of what they did, and again, they should be, you know, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law and be treated for the characters that they are. But you know, CNN, MSNBC, they'll put them back on the air to interview them and excuse what they did and justify it. It is unjustifiable.
No, well said, well said. All right, Steve, we're going to leave it there, my friend. What's cooking over at TriStarDaily.com?
You know, the legislature in Tennessee is back in session, so guard your wallets, guard your family, guard your household, because they're back in session. And while they're talking about tax cuts, while they're talking about trying to reduce the burden on taxpayers, Tennessee revenue has slowed a little bit, so they're going to have a tight budget to deal with. And I think some of their grandiose schemes and what they want to promise during election year is going to fall a little short this year.
All right, my friend. Always, always good chatting. Steve Gill, publisher of TriStarDaily.com. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, good stuff. Dylan, would you pay $15,000 to go see a football game?
If I'm an Indiana fan and I've never seen our team win ever, maybe. But if I'm Alabama, probably not.
I wonder how many people mortgage their house to get tickets.
It's got to be more than one.
They say that Indiana has the largest university like alumni base in the nation. 800,000 alumni.
Mark Cuban upon those. Yeah.
Is that right?
It's true.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's alleged that he's going to be donating money or giving money for the NIL stuff. So,
well, if that's the case, they could be sitting pretty for a while.
That's true. Could be seeing Indiana at the top consistently.
Wow. Look, I mean, I love the atmosphere, but the reality is you're going to be much more comfortable at home with your own snacks.
On a Lazy Boy.
Your TV. Yeah. That's right. You got your bathroom there.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
A big TV and be virtually there, you know, instead of spending that much money.
Do you ever come back into the studio and watch games, play video games on the big monitor?
Well, I can't tell you because I haven't yet, but I've thought about it. That's
you're a little
what
flustered
I'll say.
There.
Yeah.
I was just joking.
It would be nice. It's like 80 inches. So
it's true. Yeah, it's a big screen. So
you may see me in here tonight at 6:30.
You're going to watch the game.
Oh, I'm absolutely watching the game.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Indiana wins.
I agree with you.
And I think we've got to do something with a 23-year-old quarterback that is not even in class. Come on.
That's rough.
That's ridiculous. All right. Would you pay that amount of money, ladies? Would you pay $10,000, $5,000? Would you pay $1,000 to go watch the game tonight? 901-260-5926. And then you got to throw in traffic and parking, and I'm good. I'm good. We'll be right back. All right, coming up this evening on Newsmax, the Todd Stern Show, we're going to be talking to Dr. Paul Chample, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, will join us. Also, Congressman John Rose. So we have a jam-packed show for you tonight. That's 5 o'clock on Newsmax 2. By the way, President Trump, like many, many of you now watching Newsmax, millions tuning into Newsmax on cable, and they're also going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. They're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we are now one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax as well. It truly is real news for real people. Oh, that's going to be exciting. Interesting story out of Miami, and it involves free speech. So the cops showed up at a woman's house because they were concerned with something she wrote on social media, on Facebook, and the police chief is defending all of this. So they sent a couple of officers over to her home. They had her post that she had written on Facebook, and they said this is very problematic. And I want to read to you what the woman wrote, because she's on the opposite side of the aisle from me. Here's what she wrote. The guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater for showing a movie that hurt his feelings and refuses to stand up for the LGBTQ community in any way, even leaves the room when they vote on related matters, wants you to know that you're all welcome here with the clown emoji face. Three times. I'm sorry, but what is offensive or threatening about that? I don't get that. Why would, and they're saying that the problematic phrase is the guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians. Does that really warrant a visit from the police department? And again, it sounds like this woman is a leftist or at least a liberal. I don't agree with anything she says, but I'll defend her right to say it, and I don't see that she's actually threatening anybody. I'm trying to figure out what that's all about. So anyway, there is a big free speech battle underway in Miami now as the police chief, Wayne Jones, now defends sending detectives to this woman's house. They're calling it an inflammatory social media post. Got to be careful with this kind of stuff, folks. Got to be careful, especially when you see what's happening across the Atlantic Ocean. And in the UK, people are actually going to jail for writing their thoughts and opinions on social media. That is not right. All right, hang tight, everybody. Harmeet Dhillon coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I was over on the New York Times front page, just curious to see how they're covering this attack on the church in St. Paul, Minnesota. By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So very happy to have you with us today. Do you realize it is nowhere on the front page of the New York Times? The big story on the New York Times, why is America becoming less tolerant of gay people? That is literally their top story right now. Just absolutely unbelievable. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And it is certainly a story that is really impacting a lot of folks and has angered just about every evangelical pastor in America. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It is an honor to have the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, our good friend Harmeet Dhillon. Harmeet, first of all, it's been a while since we've had you on, so welcome back and congratulations in your new role in the administration.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Harmeet, first, I just want to get your reaction. When you found out what happened in that Baptist church in St. Paul, Minnesota, what was your initial reaction?
My reaction is it's terrible what we saw there. No house of worship should ever be threatened or invaded, like we saw, children crying, moms afraid, men behaving like men and being calm in the face of crazy behavior by these so-called protesters, and the violation of the Federal Faith Act to invade a house of worship. It's not a free speech zone. There's only one purpose there, and that's to worship God. And you can't just barge into somebody's house and start mounting your, podcast-friendly virtue signaling. So we're going to be taking action. We're investigating it. We have deployed resources to the field. The Attorney General is personally managing and directing this. I'm reporting to her regularly throughout the day, and it is a top priority for the DOJ to make sure this never happens again.
The interesting thing here is all of this, before, during, and after, all captured on these videos. How important is that video going to be to the investigation?
It's important. We're preserving the video that isn't already obviously out there. We're looking at the video that Don Lemon and other participants put out there. The church itself has some video. And, you know, if members of the public have video to share with us, our FBI investigators would be interested in seeing it.
You know, it's interesting. Don Lemon, he was so confrontational with some of these church members and, of course, the pastor. And he implied that they had a right, a constitutional right, to disrupt, storm into this sanctuary. What say you?
No, that's fake news. It is private property. And even on public property, you don't have an unlimited right to exercise your right to protest. There are time, place, and manner restrictions that apply to even public facilities. But literally, he has a video out there where he's shown, after being asked to leave, standing there with his mic in the face of the very calm pastor, Pastor Parnell, and parishioners over there. They were so calm. I mean, I'm impressed. I probably wouldn't have been as calm. I'd probably be freaking out and pretty more aggressive than some of those guys.
For me, it was so heartbreaking. I don't know if you've seen that photo or the image taken from the video of that little child who was just clearly horrified, weeping in his parents' arms there on the pew. That is just, for me, that just set me off, Harmeet.
Yep. No, look, there's literally zero context here that can make what happened okay. And we have zero tolerance for this. I want your listeners to know, I see a lot of, frankly, negative black pill commentary online. I want your listeners to know that this DOJ has already secured numerous convictions against attacks on Christian houses of worship so far since we've been in office. Numerous. And we have numerous investigations open, synagogues as well. I don't think there's ever been a DOJ as protective of houses of worship and people of faith than Pam Bondi's DOJ.
Is it true the Attorney General has already reached out to the pastor and had conversations with him?
Yes, I was on the call with her. She included me in the call generously. She called. She gave our concerns and reassurances. We want to make sure they're safe for their upcoming worship services and to let them know that this is a high priority for us. And I think the pastor, he was out, you know, with his family. I think he was comforted. He was. It's a harrowing incident. No one ever expects, as a leader of a house of God, that they, your home, God's home, might be invaded by a gang of people who came there to put people in fear. That's literally what was said outside. They want people to be in fear and quote unquote think twice. They want them to frankly be afraid to worship at this house of worship. That's what I see. And that's un-American, it's unconstitutional, and it's a crime. So we will not put up with it.
And I think, and I understand what you're saying with you have to investigate. You've got to do what the law says you have to do. And I think everybody understands that. I think there's just so much frustration over.
I don't think they do, Todd.
Do you not?
You know, people are saying, where are the arrests? Where are the arrests? Do you think I can just go arrest people without due process and an arrest warrant from a federal judge? It's a holiday today. It's MLK Jr. Day, on a day when we should be remembering his words of peace and of equality. We're dealing with this. So let me tell you something. The federal judges, we don't control them. And so we have to build a case. You have to take the case to the judge, and then the judge has to sign off on an arrest warrant. So it isn't just, why aren't you putting handcuffs on people? That's just not how it works.
No. And you're absolutely right there. I think though, when they look at the last administration and the way Christians especially were treated by this last administration, I think there's just so much anger and frustration over the way Christians have been treated in the country over the last administration. And I think we're glad to see finally that the administration is taking action and is being very methodical in how they approach that. What are the next steps here, Harmeet? We understand that there are investigators what already on the ground or on the way?
On the ground. Two of my prosecutors landed several hours ago from D.C. in Minneapolis. They are working with FBI team already on the ground, already investigating so many different things over there, and this is a high priority. They've met with the U.S. Attorney's Office. We're interviewing witnesses. We are getting updates. There's a lot of investigative tools here that we have to use. I don't want to get into them, but we want to build the best case that we can. Even in the prior administration, they didn't see a crime and arrest people and then go ask a judge later. That's not how it works. Again, they built their case, however, whatever we think of that case. Sometimes it took years to build their cases.
and sprung them at politically opportune times. We're not going to do that here because we cannot tolerate this happening on another Sunday, another Saturday in America. So we are putting an end to it.
And real quick, I saw earlier there was some chatter on social media about possibly using the Ku Klux Klan Act as a way to go after. Is that accurate?
Yes. The prior administration did that with abortion clinic protesters, and it held up in court. So if there's a conspiracy between multiple protesters or whatever you want to call them to block access to a house of worship, that can be a violation of the FACE Act, Section 241. Sorry, the Klan Act, in addition to the FACE Act, Section 241. We are looking at that.
All right. Well, look, Harmeet, I know you're slammed today with radio interviews, and we appreciate you taking some time with us today. And again, folks, be patient. There's a process here, and we've got to let the process work out. Harmeet, God bless you, and thank you for standing up for the good Christian people there in St. Paul.
Thank Pam Bondi, because she's the leader of this, and I hope everyone realizes how deeply she cares about all people of faith in this country.
Thank you
so much for having me.
All right. Thank you again. Harmeet Dhillon, everybody, from the Justice Department. And again, I think they understand the seriousness of the situation and the anger. There is great anger in the Christian community, and it is a righteous anger, and it is okay for Christians to be angry. We should not have to tolerate this in the United States of America. And she's right. It takes time. You got to investigate. You got to build your case. You got to get all of your evidence together. And fortunately, most of it is on videotape, before, during, and after. And these morons actually admitted to what they were going to do and what their intent was. So there's really no guessing what they intended to do when they stepped foot into that church. All right, we've got to take a break here. The question, though, ladies and gentlemen, do you believe that the president should use this incident as the mechanism to send in the military and to finally put a stop to all this lawlessness in Minneapolis? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go right to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Do you believe the president should invoke the Insurrection Act? Let's go to Dawn in Houston, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920, wants to weigh in on all of that and more. Hi, Dawn. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. First thing, let me thank you for what you do. Getting the message out. We've got to get the message out. And you're a voice in the wilderness. I tell you, I appreciate you a great deal. I just wish more people were tuning in. First off, yes, I think we've got to do something. We've got to stop some of this, because the longer it goes on, then the stronger it seems to get. We've got, and I do appreciate you having the lady on that explained about the resting, and then they have to go and get a warrant, and they have to get a federal judge to sign off on, and all that stuff. And that's very much appreciated. It kind of helps a little bit, because a lot of us are out here saying, why isn't somebody going to jail? Well, maybe they will eventually. And that's a good thing, that we're learning that. So thank you for putting her on. And yes, I think the president should go into Minneapolis and just put a stop to the whole thing. I mean, we got to put somebody in jail. We got to arrest them and ship them out of here. It's the only way we're going to stop this.
Don, do you believe the insurrection is the way to go, or should we just stick with what's happening right now?
What's happening right now is effective, but not as much as I think if we had the Insurrection Act and just went in there and did it all at one time, basically, we'd be more effective over time. What they're trying to do now, it's working, but it's not working as fast or as effectively as I think it should. I could be wrong on that.
All right. Well, Don, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for those kind words. And we also really appreciate you listening to Patriot Talk 920. Great, great radio station there in Houston, Texas. By the way, all of you folks in the Houston area, I'll be coming to town, wow, next week, January 28th. This month is just flying by. We have a huge event. The Village Republican Women are hosting a luncheon, and yours truly will be the keynote speaker. And we'd love for you to join us. This is all coming up on Wednesday, January the 28th at the Houston Racquet Club. And if you'd like information, you can go to their website, villagerepublicanwomen.org. That's villagerepublicanwomen.org. And you'll be able to get tickets for the event, very reasonable, and it includes a good lunch. So you're gonna love that as well. All right, this is a really bizarre story out of a school district in Kansas, and a teacher there has banned the children from picking President Trump, Jesus Christ, and Charlie Kirk as role models. No, this is an insane story. So it's happening in the town of Eureka, Kansas, the grade school, Marshall Elementary. And the children were given an assignment by a guidance counselor to write about their heroes. And they had to walk up to the front board and they would write the name of their hero or their role model on the whiteboard. Guidance counselor Casey Countryman was responsible for all of this. And it was part of a project for sixth graders called Find Your Voice. So one of the children went up to the board and wrote Charlie Kirk, and the teacher said, no, you can't do that. He is not a good role model for you, and made the child erase his hero, his role model. Another student mentioned President Trump, and by the way, we have this story up at toddstearns.com. You should read it. Another person mentioned President Trump. And the teacher said, all right, look, here's the deal. No political figures. You cannot have President Trump as your role model. And then another student mentioned Jesus Christ. And the teacher said, okay, you can't have any religious figures. You can't have any political figures as a role model. So the kids told their parents about all of this, as well they should. And the parents went to the school board. They are now represented by the American Center for Law and Justice. That's our good friend Jay Sekulow's organization. And the ACLJ is pretty upset about this. And here's the reason why. So when the principal found out that the kids told their parents, the principal got all the kids together and said, hey, look, in the future, if you've got a problem with something happening in the classroom, you need to bring that to me, not your mom or your dad. The principal allegedly told the students that the school should be considered their family. That is so creepy. That's insane. The ACLJ also alleges the district justified the ban on Jesus and President Trump because it was about public safety. They also said that allowing discussions of Charlie would create an unsafe environment or provoke disagreement. Well, that wasn't the assignment. The assignment was, tell us who your hero is. Tell us who your role model is. So now we understand the Justice Department is investigating. This could be a discrimination complaint here. Could be a civil rights violation. But if you ask me, this has nothing to do with education. This is everything about indoctrination. And it certainly appears the teacher was not so much interested in helping the kids find their voices as she was silencing their voices. I'm telling you, every single day, I just become more and more convinced the only solution to fixing education in America is to put kids back in school in their homes. Homeschool your kids, ladies and gentlemen. That may be the only way to save America. 901-260-5926, our number. Oh, by the way, I hit the 10-pound mark. I've lost officially 10 pounds. I'm not sure where, but that's what the scales say. I'm doing this through our friends at Calitrin, which is working phenomenally. And also, you know, in addition to just cutting back and eating more protein, eating more vegetables, well, you can only eat so many vegetables, which is why I had this great supplement called Field of greens, and I take it every single day in the morning when I get here to the studio. And I want you to check them out as well. Field of Greens, designed each fruit and vegetable to support your heart, lungs, kidneys, healthy weight as well. They've done a study, and they've determined that Field of Greens actually improves very significant key health markers. Go to fieldofgreens.com, fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code STARS, and you're going to get 20% off. That's what I take every single day. Already dropped 10 pounds, folks. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code STARS. Just got a note from Joe in Gainesville, Georgia, who was listening to the interview we did with Harmeet Dhillon. And Joe wanted to, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on what on Joe's take on this. And Joe, by the way, thank you for sending us a letter. We always appreciate that, and we try to read as many of them as we can on the air here. Mr. Starnes, the tone coming from Harmeet Dhillon at DOJ comes off as indignant, because it treats voter fatigue as a failure of voters to grasp the complexity of their work rather than a rational response to a DOJ that has been feckless in carrying out many of their own campaign promises. People weren't wrong or stupid to expect follow-through. After watching little to nothing get done, they're now being told to sit back and trust the same officials who insist they know what they're doing, and that the public skepticism is the real problem. Meanwhile, the attorney general goes on Fox News over 100 times to tell the public what a great job they're doing. Have a wonderful day. Joe, Gainesville, Georgia. Joe is right. All right, Joe has a valid point here. And I was trying to, if you listen to the conversation, I said, but Harmeet, you know, I think people understand. And she, no, I don't think they do, Todd. That's what she said. She said, no, I don't think they do. But they do. People are frustrated. And I get it. If I'm Harmeet Dhillon and I'm being, and you notice how she did, it's very interesting. She was always praising Pam Bondi. And I think, I understand why she's doing that. And I understand why she had the tone she had that she had, mainly because I've been one of the people saying, let's get out there and let's arrest these people. So I understand why she was frustrated. But the reality is you are frustrated. We all are frustrated because they did promise to deliver and bring justice to the country, and it hasn't happened yet. It just hasn't happened. But they're investigating. But you heard what she said. Sometimes it takes up to 2 years or more. Let me say this. If we don't have arrest by the end of the week, there are going to be problems. We've got to get this under control. And they've got plenty of evidence. Am I a lawyer? No, I'm not. Am I law enforcement? Nope, sure not. But there's plenty of evidence, plenty of evidence. And I know people are frustrated. I know they're frustrated with us. And look, I'm impressed. They've got investigators on the ground. We'll give them credit for that. And they're going to get to the bottom of all of this. I have no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I want to go back through, and this is, I know they're a little agitated at me right now because of my tweets, and my tweets have gone super viral. But here's, I just want to go through, and here's what I said. Christians have a constitutional right to worship Jesus without Don Lemon sticking a microphone in their face. So now the mob is shutting down churches and terrorizing Christians. Enough is enough. President Trump must invoke the Insurrection Act and put down the rebellion in Minnesota. Otherwise, law-abiding citizens are going to start taking matters into their own hands. Another person, this is another tweet I wrote. The attack on City's church should be the triggering moment for Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act and send in the military to put down the lawlessness across Minnesota. Otherwise, law-abiding citizens are going to start taking matters into their own hands. Oh, I did write this. We must see arrest by tomorrow. Well, yes, why not? Why did it take, hold on, why did it take 45 minutes for the local police to show up at the church? At the very least, those people are all guilty of trespassing. So why aren't they in jail? Why haven't they already been arrested? That has nothing to do with the Justice Department. I also wrote this. Don Lemon needs to be dragged out of his house. This racist jackass belongs in jail for targeting Christian worshipers. I was a little fired up yesterday. I'm really upset about all of this. The other thing I wrote that got a lot of play, well, the attack on the Baptist Church in Minnesota awakened the slumbering Southern Baptist Convention. That's a good question, I think. But I don't believe I've written anything in my on X or the social media platforms that would have angered the Justice Department here. And again, ladies and gentlemen, how much longer do we need to wait, and what sort of evidence do they actually need? Didn't want to be a jerk about it, but how much more evidence do they need? You've got them on video admitting they're about to commit a crime. You've got them on video committing the crime, and then you have them on video after committing the crime celebrating the fact they committed a crime. What else are they waiting for? Let's go to the phones. Statesville, North Carolina, the lovely Miss Patty joins us. Hi, Miss Patty. What say you?
What did I say last week to you? I said he should put the Insurrection Act in. I said that last week. Now everybody's on the bandwagon. Oh, the Insurrection Act. Well, I knew this should have happened a while ago. These people are not getting blamed for anything. Donna Lemon. I call him Donna.
Oh, that's Donna. I like it.
Yeah, Donna Lemon. Why is he not arrested for going into a church? If that was me and you doing that, we'd be in jail.
Let me say this. If this had been a black church and that mob would have been a white mob, I think it would have been a whole different story.
Well, what do you think what I said last week? Do you agree with me that he should use the Insurrection Act? Because, Todd, it's out of hand. These people are lunatics. They are being paid by Democrats. They're being paid by whoever, these, you know, the Soros or whoever they get. They don't care. Nobody's getting punished or anything. That's why they're doing this. Not one person is getting punished. So it's like a little child. If my kids, when they did something wrong, I punish them. These people are acting like little children. Am I right?
No, I think they're behaving worse than children. I think these people are monsters.
They're getting allowed to get away with this.
They are. Right now, Patty, there's a big mob inside a Target store in St. Paul, and they're banging bongos. They're doing a sit-in, and... You know, they ought to be in jail, every single one. I mean, this is what angers me, Patty. This is illegal. People should be going to jail.
You know what? Can I say something real quick before I go? I'm going to tell you something. This is home for me. You know, I have somebody that in Minneapolis, and you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. They got thrown out of their hotel room. Do you know that ICE got thrown out of their hotel room?
Patty, and the reason why is because these mobs were making it very unsafe. You know, they were doxing the information where the ICE agents are saying, I don't blame the hotels. I mean, it's just a dangerous situation. But again, why are we not arresting these people who are doing this?
What about Fry and, you know, Tampon? Why are they not being held accountable for anything? I've never seen this. I've seen more people on the right I've seen Bannon, Navarro, Roger Stone. Can I go on? Peaceful protesting at abortion clinics. January 6th rioters. We didn't. Everybody went to jail on that.
Sure did. I see. When they stepped foot into that church, that's when they broke the law. In my book, they're trespassing. That puts them in jail. Now the DOJ needs to come in. DOJ needs to come in, and they need to say, okay, let's look at the evidence here. Are there any federal crimes? And if there are, they need to be charged with those federal crimes. I don't see why this is going to take months to investigate. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward to me.
Look at the evidence. Don Lamar was threatening the pastor.
Yep, sure was. Sure was.
Oh, Todd, I love you. I'll call you if I am allowed to call back. But I am so mad right now. And I you know what? Like I said, this is hitting home for me because, you know, I do have somebody, you know, somebody's there that I really care about. And these people, you know, they had to go sleep in their vehicles. This is I'm sorry, Donald Trump. Donald J. Trump. Insurrection right now. Did I not say that last week? Now everybody's jumping on board. Greg Stubbe, everybody's saying yes, Insurrection Act.
Mm-hmm. All right, Patty, good hearing from you, my friend. And let's just pray that your loved one is safe out there. What a mess. What a mess that is. Let's go to Georgia. Louie, listening to us on WRWH, great radio station. Hi, Louie, what's on your mind?
Well, Todd, My first comment I was going to say till the last, but I'm going to do my last comment first.
All right.
Now, if there are people in this country that don't understand, a big majority of people that live in the southern United States of America, if they'll get them a big old southern fried chicken breast with a brown crust and an 8-ounce bottle of Heinz 57, and Todd, if that don't bring them around, we'll keep praying for them. But now, Todd, what Donald J. Trump, our president, needs to do is exactly what God tells him to do. And he needs to be sure that it's God telling him. And Todd, our elected officials need to bear in mind that Jesus Christ and the rifle is why we have the freedom that we have. And if it's all right, Todd, I'm going to hang up and let you preach a while.
Well, hold on a second, Louie. I got to amen to that with the, I believe, gun-toting Bible clinging. That's the way we do things here on this program. Can we go back to the fried chicken for just a moment? So what do we do? We have the fried chicken and the Heinz 57, and that's where you lost me.
In other words, Todd, now I know you got to love Heinz 57.
Louis, I don't want to break your heart, or I don't want to lose respect to me. I'm not a big Heinz 57 guy.
Well, Todd, just do this.
All right.
Just pray and talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, if Louis's wrong, you let me know. And if he's right, I'm going to get me a big old southern fried Heinz chicken breast and try an 8-ounce bottle. And if I don't use that 8-ounce bottle on that chicken breast, and I'll say I'm right and Louis wrong.
Do I dip it after I fry the chicken, or do I use that as the batter?
Well, Todd, you know what I'm talking about when I say southern fried chicken breast.
Oh,
that's
yes.
That's the crunchy brown batter, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it's got to be a chicken breast, the white meat, and an 8-ounce bottle. That, you know, you don't want to get a big bottle.
But no.
Anybody can eat a whole 8-ounce bottle of Heinz 57 with a big chicken breast. Now, Todd, I'm not suggesting violence in America, but don't you tell me something and tell the world something if this is not true. Did not our founding fathers use Jesus Christ and the rifle to keep us free and to give us our freedom, right or wrong?
No, you're right. You're right.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hang up and tell you I love you, Todd. Just keep on preaching, and we want folks saved. That's all that matters. If you ain't born again, you need to get born again before this program goes off. And we love you, Todd.
All right. Amen to that, Louie. All right. So Louie's a chicken breast man. That's his favorite part of the bird. So I guess I'm still not confused. I'm a little confused, Dylan. So does he recommend, like, dipping your chicken into the, you know, you're eating your chicken. And
it seems like the dip is what he's referring
dipping to. Dipping of the sauce. Okay. I'm just not a Heinz 57 guy. I never have been.
Well, it's the 8-ounce bottle, so you have to give it a shot. Very specific to the size there.
For Louie, because I felt bad, because the guy was like, build me up and everything. And I'm like, you know, I really don't like Heinz 57. I guess I could have said I love it, but I really don't. I want to be honest.
At least you're honest. I mean, there's other sauces out there, but he seems to be pretty confident that's the best one to go with.
I'm a Sweet Baby Ray's guy.
Okay.
The original.
Well, I'm ketchup, so I'm not that much better.
Gosh. You ketchup.
I'll be crucified for that.
Yes. All right. There you go. But he is right about the Bibles and the rifles. So well done. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Dylan also took the crew up to the top of the Bass Pro Shop. That is the tallest freestanding elevator in America. According to Bill Dance, who does the narration as you go up.
Not a lot of people know about that.
Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So the Bass Pro Shop, it's massive. I mean, what is it? Multi-story? How tall is that? That's a giant pyramid.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Anyway, it's really interesting. It's a glass elevator, so as you go up, you know, you sort of get the panoramic view. Have you been out on the ledge?
Yeah, I did it one time years ago when they first built it. Well, they first repurposed it for Bass Pro, because I wanted to visit Bass Pro Shop, because I'm like, we have a Bass Pro Shop in a pyramid, why not go? So I decided to just do that whole thing.
Do you know how tall the pyramid is?
I don't.
It's as tall as a 28-story building.
Wow.
So the elevator is 300 feet tall, and it's a quick ride right up to the top. Went up there. You can eat it. They have a great restaurant up there.
It's very cool, and it also makes you, well, this is maybe just me, but I like looked down when I was up there, and it's, you know, it's a pyramid, so it's like a sloped kind of, you know, scene over it, and it kind of makes me want to
slide down.
And I know that's not a good idea, but.
No, it's not a good idea. Because the duck will hit you.
A duck will hit you. Yeah, it's true.
It's true. Anyway, it's great. If you haven't been to the Bass Pro Shop in the Pyramid, it's pretty remarkable. So, and Bill Dance, I love that. You know, the great fisherman, legendary fisherman, is the guy who does the play by play. You know, it's interesting. You know how they decided to build the Bass Pro Shop? He's good buddies with the guy who founded Bass Pro Shop, and they were out on a fishing trip, and they were talking about, you know, that might be a pretty good place to build a Bass Pro store in the Memphis area, because he was wanting to do that. What's the guy's name? Morris. Johnny Morris. So he and Johnny Morris, Bill Dance and Johnny Morris, were out there fishing, and they said, okay, guys, if we catch like a 30-pound, I don't know, fish, then we're going to build a Bass Pro Shop in Memphis at this location. And sure enough, they went out there, and they caught a 30-pound fish. That was the story. They tell you the stories. You're going up on the 28 floors. You got time to tell a story. I'm just saying. But anyway, it was great. Well, you're going to have to grill Josh tomorrow. He's coming on the show tomorrow, Josh Jones, and see what he thinks. That was his first trip to Memphis.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the places you have to take it, because, like, as you're crossing the bridge, that's mainly what you see is that pyramid.
He brought you up. He said, when we were listening to the blues, he says he didn't realize that he liked the blues.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to listen to, because it's just nice.
It's good stuff. All right, that's coming up tomorrow. Hey, folks, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show. We will keep up the conversation. A lot of breaking news components coming out of Minneapolis. We'll keep you updated on all of that. Meanwhile, ToddStearns.com, go and download our podcast and also our free newsletter. You can sign up for that as well. Get out there, be safe and warm, everybody.